Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 625. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, as I said, I am excited about hockey season. It is upon us. It's going to be a 56-game mad dash against a bunch of teams you really, really hate. So should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So that is going on. good thing, I guess, that I don't have my attention elsewhere currently. And unfortunately, the NFL is almost dead to me. Although I'm sure I will watch the games. it's not that dead to me. But when you don't have any rooting interests and basically just want to more have a list of teams you don't want to see win,
right.
It's a little tough.
I get it. I understand.
So, you know, there is that. And, you know, I was hoping somewhere along the way I'd come up with the very first topic of the show, because they're really, like, stuff went on, but I think we kind of talked about it, although, I mean, we talked about it, but, you know, the Royal Rumble doesn't have a lot of storylines, I guess, and I guess one of the few ones that we did kind of continue is, and I guess it's kind of a little bit of two storylines, because we definitely seem to be working towards Shinsuke Nakamura as a future challenger in some capacity for Roman Reigns. Would you agree with that after his match?
I do. They absolutely are building up something with Shinsuke. I don't know. It appears we're building up to Cesaro turning against Shinsuke, so I'm glad to see both got big wins on SmackDown, and you know we get these hopeful Cesaro pushes every couple of years, it seems, in the singles competition, and they never seem to stick. I don't know if I necessarily see the value in them feuding with each other. Nothing, it's with no titles at stake. So I'm hesitant with my enthusiasm.
It seems like
Nakamura's getting something. He's got his old music back. You know, he got the run in the Gauntlet match. He beat Jey Uso. But I don't know exactly where that leads. There's there are now two pay-per-views between Rumble and WrestleMania, with WrestleMania delayed 2 weeks. Otherwise, I don't think there was actually going to be an early...
a second pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah, so there's time to get Nakamura into a situation. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to be the one to beat Roman Reigns, so I don't know if I necessarily...
I guess the more you talked, the more I was sitting there kind of moving over to that mindset going, yeah, I mean, as much as he's getting something of a push right now, like, yeah, there's a real limit to this. Like, he's just, I guess I was thinking it's almost kind of odd. I always feel like they end up building up all these heels most of the time to feed to the babyface champion, and then they, you know, lose, and all the steam goes away. And this is just strange because you have Roman Reigns who, you know, I guess he's definitely proven more vicious than in the past. So you need to have a challenger who at least has some credibility coming in. And, yeah, I mean, it's good that they're building up Shinsuke, and I don't know that Cesaro can end up being that kind of an opponent. I mean, he could definitely go in the ring with Reigns, but I don't, like you said, like his, all of his pushes have been aborted, and I don't really have a whole lot of faith in it, but it has been kind of...
I wasn't thinking about Cesaro as an opponent for Roman Reigns. Cesaro staying heel.
That's a good point. But I guess at least they need some new blood up there to kind of freshen things up, and Cesaro could definitely provide that. And Shinsuke's been away from the singles territory long enough that he should have some fresh matchups to go with. Like you said, the change in music, that's always a prime hint that the story is going to be different. Or actually, Jeremy texted me, he goes, "Oh man, that audio sweetener really loves Shinsuke Nakamura now."
Nice to have the old music back, but without an actual live crowd humming along, it definitely loses quite a bit.
You could do the Firefly thing on the video boards, but it doesn't have the same feel as people in the arena doing it. Right. And his entrance is the same way. Like, I was okay with the heel version of the song. I mean, this is El Clasico version, and it's the better version.
Yeah.
good that he has that back. And I guess, well, the second part of that, obviously, since we were kind of talking about Roman Reigns, we ended up... not getting the perfect foil, as I termed it in the write-up last week, Adam Pearce taking on Roman Reigns. We used an old card is subject to change moments after the contract is signed.
Yeah, I guess we should have seen this coming. That they weren't actually going to go through with Adam Pearce challenging for the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble. But it still felt like something that they could have done. Maybe Adam Pearce is legitimately unable to wrestle. It was never going to happen. I don't know.
I don't know who mentioned it, but someone said that he's been out of the ring for 6 years now, like at least in an official wrestling capacity. I would imagine that at some point he has probably either practiced and or run through a match at a gym, I'm assuming. Because, I mean, he still looks like he's in pretty good shape. I guess I assumed that he could probably get through a match. And again, like I think all of us talked about it. Royal Rumble, you don't necessarily need to have the marquee singles match there. And Roman Reigns continuing to be a dick would have been just fine enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really like the idea of Reigns having this kind of weird, wacky match, and all of his real threats are in the Rumble itself. That would include Kevin Owens. That would include Daniel Bryan. That would include Nakamura. That would include Big E. That would include, you know. So there's, you know, some real parody in the Royal Rumble, and a real doubt of who's going to win, not even factoring in the Raw side of things. So I think that would have been really cool. I mean, because we're definitely at the... I'm at the point where it's going to be the next three pay-per-views are going to be rough, particularly for Roman Reigns and the SmackDown side, because I don't believe that Roman Reigns is losing that championship. I believe that Drew McIntyre is losing before Roman Reigns is. I have more. I find the idea more believable that Goldberg will beat Drew McIntyre than Kevin Owens will beat Roman Reigns. So it's like, yeah. You know, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. Like, there's a difference between, and I guess to me, there's a difference between believability and what I think will happen. Also, I do not think Goldberg's going to win that match. But if that ends up being the outcome, I would also not be surprised. You know?
No.
I would be genuinely shocked if Kevin Owens beat Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I absolutely would. And there's just, there doesn't seem to be any reason to take the title off of Roman Reigns. And I know that's what kind of sucks about being so in the bubble of the internet wrestling, you know, fandom, and just being having this show, and simply just being so old and watching so long that you get a feeling that it's not just the rumor mill that you're exposed to. It's just a feeling you get. you get all the beats. You kind of know the tropes and all that.
Yeah,
it's kind of unfortunate like that. I'd wish to be, a kid watching this stuff again,
Yeah, there's definitely a difference in viewing these days than there were in years past. Because I don't even really need to read the dirt sheets to, like you said, like, we've watched enough at this point that, there isn't a trick that we haven't seen. Sometimes you don't see it coming, but, it's always a trick that's been done before.
As of right now, I really don't have a solid Royal Rumble pick, so at least that part is good. It is good, but yeah, as far as the title matches concerned with Reigns and Owens, like, I'm sure it will be a very good to great match. But this is now their third match. And their third match that won't end on a pinfall or submission. Because now it's the last man standing. Before that, they had a cage match. Before that, they had a TLC match. It's just like, in a TLC match, how WWE does their, weapons brawl matches, there's really, other than the climbing, there's really not all that much difference between the TLC match and a last man standing match for what they'll bring to the table.
I do think that, not that ladders don't get used in a last man standing match, but I would definitely say that there are more ladder spots in a ladder match, people either coming off of them or falling off of them or diving off of them. Something in that regard. But yeah, other than that, there is not a whole lot of distinction between the two styles of matches.
And they've hit, they've done weapons brawls a lot in the last year or so, or certainly last 6 months or so. WWE weapons brawls do have a certain formula to them that does get played out. Sometimes, there's certain matches that rise above that formula. I'm sure it's going to be good to great, but there's issues with it to me that I'm just not looking forward to it as much as I was looking to Roman Reigns and Adam Pearce.
It definitely will get Kevin Owens off of the Roman Reigns radar after this one, I would assume.
Yeah, there's no way.
They might have, if they do an elimination chamber, he might be in it.
Right.
But you know damn well that he isn't winning it.
They've got to do a real major, finish to the match at Royal Rumble to get, people excited to see Kevin Owens.
Roman Reigns Part 4. And they finally have a pinfall matchup in their fourth one. There's no stipulations. Finally, it's just a regular match.
Yeah. That's not the first time they've done that. Maybe the first time they've done that. It's ass backwards. But yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So yeah, there was that that funness on SmackDown. We had the ladies are starting to get a little traction on SmackDown. I feel like Raw has the bigger names, but the ladies get a little more screen time on SmackDown. At least,
Yes, they.
yeah, at least that seems to be the case to me. Like, it's for being a 3-hour show, they're not featured as much in within the time parameters, I guess. And I guess I have enjoyed, like, they're not going where I expected them to, but Billy Kay kind of joining up with the Riot Squad has already been fairly comedic. But I'm not sure that it is helping the Riot Squad at all.
I guess it's a push for the Riot Squad at this point. There's nothing. They're not in contention for the tag team championships right now, and there's nothing nowhere else really for them to go other than just be kind of fodder in the Royal Rumble. So the stuff with Billy Kay is fine. It's funny. It's good humor. It's good use of Billy Kay. I like it so far.
Yeah, so they got a couple of segments out of that, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, that was fun. We got the Ray, King Corbin, Dominic, still not ready to wrestle anyone, not named Buddy Murphy and or Seth Rollins. This is it's just getting kind of weird at this point. Like
I don't.
I guess to me, if you're not ready to pull the trigger on the kid, cool, I get it. Don't have him out there for like months on end and then kind of sell him out, I guess. Like I don't think that does him any favors developmentally. So,
Well, putting him on commentary certainly doesn't help him. At least it didn't help me.
I mean, he just sounded kind of green and fairly nervous, I think.
Oh, he sounded very nervous, yeah.
So, I guess I'm not gonna blame him for that, but yeah, like you're. Yeah, I don't. It's just another one I don't get. Like I'd rather him be off of TV than have him just be some weirdo that's just hanging out with his dad now. Like Ray's been the only
You're
one
kind of
doing
wrong.
the wrestling.
Yeah, it's been a while though since the last time Dominic had a match. I think Survivor Series was Dominic's last official match in the opening pre-show Battle Royal. I think that was the last time Dominic did anything at all in the ring. We haven't they've seemingly pulled Aaliyah from storylines. Buddy Murphy hasn't been around. I don't know what the story with that is. Cutler and Blake weren't with Corbin this time
Oh,
this week.
I didn't even think about that.
So yeah, where this feud started, which was just heading towards a six-man tag, and now and then the Mysterios were not on TV for weeks, and then Ray comes back only with Dominic, no Aaliyah in sight. Not that I miss her in the least, and I hope she's gone for good. Unless she wants to actually learn how to wrestle, then have a ball, then have at it. And then you got Blake and Cutler, who don't really add anything to Corbin.
Yeah, I mean, they give him a little bit of muscle to do some dirty work, Not to say that they're going to accomplish much, but you know,
How many other people need to?
it's always good when you act arrogant like him to have some henchmen do some dirty work.
It's fine.
So, and I
when
was
this
kind of
big.
tired of Corbin. Like, not that it does a lot, but it does kind of spice him up a little bit and give him something else to work with. Like, they are
And
clearly
he's.
committed to him. So at this point, I'm just gonna take what I can get, and him having a quart is useful.
Has he been wearing the King Garb lately? Or has he stopped using that? Stopped doing that?
I think he wore the crown down to the ring, but I'm not completely sure. So, yeah, I'm gonna leave that one up to lack of memory. and go, but I did think that they were referring to them as his court or something of that nature. So he's at least using the moniker still. He might not be doing the garb, but he's definitely using the moniker as he should. I mean, he's a heel, and obviously that is a 90% heel gimmick. So
And they didn't bother
again,
to have a King of the Ring tournament in 2020, so.
yeah. Hey, let him keep going for it. Like you may, yeah. Again, like I don't expect much out of him these days. So warm him up a little bit, and that at least makes him a little bit more palatable to me. That, and it does seem like his days of being in the main event are pretty much over. At least for now. what, oh, yeah, the aforementioned Cesaro, I guess, that's something that, we didn't get too much into, but I guess I've been a little bit surprised at the number of L's that Daniel Bryan has been taking here recently.
He seems to enjoy losing. Well, there's always been the talk that he's having taking a hand in writing the shows nowadays, as he intends to transition to a part-time wrestler contract in the coming months or whenever his contract has come due. So that's good for him if he really is behind certain people's pushes and wants more for Cesaro, that's great. But if Daniel Bryan is a potential future opponent for Roman Reigns, including maybe even at WrestleMania, I don't know if I don't particularly like him or people who are going to be in that kind of a line doing too many losses to middle of the card talent.
Yeah, I think that's what struck me weird when he lost to Jay many months ago. Like, I know that they are trying to get the persona over for Mr. Uso at the time, and it worked, and Daniel Bryan did get a win back. But yeah, a second loss in the recent memory banks never a good thing when you're going to get positioned as a champion challenger sometime. So yeah, not as much as I like Cesaro, it still seemed like an odd loss for DB to be taken. Sami Zayn has every right to talk about conspiracy theories. I think at this juncture in his matchups, do you agree?
I don't agree. I think he's stop complaining and get rid of the documentary film crew because obviously it's distracting him. He keeps losing these matches. I've got no one to blame for but himself for it. I completely disagree.
But yeah, he gets to lose to are we pushing him this week or are we not pushing him this week? Apollo Crews.
It looks like we might actually be getting a quite substantial push for Apollo Crews, with him in the locker room of our tribal chief, who sits at the head of the table, playing off of the talking he received from Paul Heyman on Talking Smack the previous week. So he appears to be open to the to being under the learning tree of one Roman Reigns.
Oh well,
it's a shame that so much of this. It's a shame so much of this is happening is taking place on Talking Smack.
Well, maybe I'll have to add that to my WWE YouTube watching.
It's not YouTube, it's on the net. Come on. You gotta pay for that kind of content.
Oh, okay. Well, I could still go there. I kind of forget that I have that app on my phone. Honestly, that's one of those things that I've started because I've just had to run everything off my phone at my new job. I've started to listen slash watch stuff on my phone more frequently, and Talking Smack would be a perfect thing to listen to as a more of a podcast type of situation. Yeah. While at work, I guess, is what I'm getting towards.
What's going on with that, right, is that you essentially have Paul Heyman acting as, you know, the devil on Apollo Crews's, you know, shoulder, really trying to get in between Apollo and Big E and get Apollo to stop being so nice. And there was a really, really good segment towards the end of this week's Talking Smack that I think really will help set the stage for the Apollo Big E match that's happening on Friday. So it was really good. Again, it's, you know, Paulie essentially being the white devil trying to get between old Apollo and Big E. With the complete endorsement of Roman Reigns, who might be putting together something of a faction of his own. Beyond just his cousin Jey Uso.
I'd be good with that. Adding Apollo Crews to the mix. I mean, because he did get a little bit of a push on Raw recently, and he's not that far removed from that situation.
Hurt him with that is, I think, did bring it up last week, is he just comes off so kind of. He's a good worker. He's not the worst talker or anything, but he just comes off a little generic, a little, you know, I'm just happy to be here. And when he went head on with the hurt business, you know, they came off, you know, cool and hip, and well, he came off like kind of a dork. So, you know, giving him an edge and turning him heel would probably do him some good.
That was definitely the one thing that I thought when he was holding up the title belt, the Intercontinental belt, was I was like, yeah, maybe that's something that would work for him. Like, I don't feel like they've ever really run him as a heel, and maybe that's something that he can really sink his teeth into, because there are just some guys that don't come out of their shell until that happens.
That's true. And
was he a babyface on the indies a lot? Do you know?
I think he's always just been a babyface. I don't think he's ever been a heel anywhere.
Okay.
My understanding.
Well, yeah. I mean, change of scenery, I think, is worthwhile.
Yeah, it'd be good for him. Plus, him having an association with Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns would then put Big E in the same orbit with Roman Reigns to set that into motion at some point.
Oh, yes. Yep. And I mean, it does look like that's coming at some point, because Big E definitely has continued to get a push. And I guess that's the only bad thing for Apollo is that I don't see him winning this matchup with Big E on Friday. I guess I wouldn't be shocked. This is one where I wouldn't be surprised if he won. But I kind of expect Big E to retain.
I would say most likely, but if we're really going to put the, bring this this union with Apollo and Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman and Jey Uso to, you know, for that to come to fruition, maybe something will happen in that regard on Friday.
Yeah. And then that would not be so bad for Mr. E, who has been so poorly deprived since he's been deprived of his last name for so long. He definitely deserves something. his explanation nearly every week about being deprived of the name Langston is a small joy in my life. It always cracks me up. that's SmackDown in a nutshell. Raw, it started off with a bang, because we got Randy Orton in an old schooly wrestling mask to cover up his hideously burned face. What did you think of the mask look from Mr. Orton?
I think I liked it. I thought, you know what, if you're gonna burn somebody's face like that, you do need to go to that length. You cannot just show up the next week, and, just with no marks and her burns on his face. So I like that. It looks like it's something he's gonna keep around, because once again, you don't. If he really got first-degree burns on his face, those aren't going to heal overnight. So this mask could be something he keeps for a little while. Promo, a backstage promo with the spooky music. It definitely went too long. It did not need to go the first 10 minutes of the entire show. but overall, it was good.
The WWE has a bad habit of overextending their welcomes more than anything else, just to fit some magical time format for their show.
They obviously are very, very, very high on this whole storyline. It has pretty much opened and closed the show for what? Even before the Fiend was burned alive at TLC. It has been, they are really, really behind this thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have to say, speaking of the main event, since it is definitely storyline adjacent, Alexa Bliss appears... more than appears to be in contention for the Raw Women's Championship for the first time in quite a while at this juncture. She has wrestled a whole lot of singles matches, and it's got to be at least a year and a half now.
It's got to be probably closer to 2 years.
She
did a little bit with... she was on SmackDown, I think... She got at least one or two matches against Bayley during Bayley's first reign when she was still a baby face. I don't think she's had much since then. There was all of her injury issues that really, impeded her in 2018 and 2019. 2018 was the last time she held a singles women's championship. People will say that she's overpushed and whatnot and always in the title picture. Really, the time does not bear that out. Now, is she always featured? Yes. but she's featured because when she's given the ball, she runs with it, and she's certainly running with this. It was, some people are finding it too hokey, and they don't think that she's a strong enough actress for it. But I overall like what they're doing. I like how she's doing it. I like that she's, you know, making it her own and not doing a Harley Quinn cosplay as it was in the beginning. I don't like Asuka showing fear, and I think for a while Asuka has been, you know, has been moving in the direction of being too goofy with all of her dancing, and, you know, her speech pattern. I would say the way that she cuts her promos, it's too. I'm usually not the one to say things like this, but it feels too stereotypical. it does to me.
Yeah. She.
I don't think she really talks like
that. Well.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I don't know if they've asked her to keep it short. I know the wife is not a fan of her speech pattern at all. But they've definitely gotten away from her being more. Like, they saw sometimes, you know, it's that WWE problem where they see how entertaining someone is, and they can't get out of that rut of making them entertaining.
Nah.
And they have a hard time pulling them back into being serious. And
yes, they absolutely.
Yeah, Asuka is in that category at this very time.
With that for a while now. She was doing really, really. She was balancing it really, really good, especially during the early part of the COVID era of empty arena shows. You know, she was getting praised here and everywhere every single week for being one of the people who was really finding her way during this period, and, you know, playing to the empty room and doing it well. But then as time went on, you know, it was too much dancing. As I said, I'm not the only person who to take issue with her speech pattern, and it has really hurt her. And of course, not having any kind of a storyline since SummerSlam has hurt. Even during the build of SummerSlam, I thought she wasn't menacing enough. After what Bayley and Sasha did to Kairi Sane, I feel like she was not angry enough. She wasn't vicious enough. I was really disappointed with that. With that element of that. That was the last time she really had a storyline either.
Well, and you kind I half thought to myself, oh, well, now that her and Charlotte have the belt, she's going to get a little more focus back on her. And then Charlotte went and started a feud with Lacey Evans before Asuka finally got inserted into this feud with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. But the Asuka Alexa Bliss has also declared herself for the Royal Rumble, as has every other heel on the Raw roster. The hell is I guess Asuka's that doesn't have a match at the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily get why they needed to insert Asuka with Alexa Bliss and have Asuka take the loss like that. Now, granted, other than Charlotte Flair, there's not another woman on the Raw roster that they could have put in the main event. Because once again, they are really, really into this stuff with The Fiend and Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton and what.
No.
And seemingly want it in multiple times per show, opening and closing the show. There was rumors a while back that, you know, USA was asking WWE to make Raw more edgy. Yeah, and, you know, this has certainly fit that bill.
No.
I see why they did it, but it's like, I don't know. As I said, I did not like how Asuka was showing fear, like she was she was a child, and, you know, seeing a monster underneath her bed or in her closet. There's things I like. The things I liked were in Alexa Bliss's performance. I like that they, you know, once again, because it's during the Thunderdome and we can play games with the live and taped elements. Lights go out, and she's in a completely different. She's in different attire. Then we can do the switch, the transition that she's the camera's trick and the editing to have her back in her original
garb,
child's doll garb.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term for it, I like all that. I really do. But I'm like, is this really what we need to be doing with Asuka? Now, granted, if we're telling a longer story, if Alexa Bliss is going to win the Royal Rumble and challenge Asuka, and Asuka has months to get her edge back, we can do something with that. But I also worry that we're gonna take the women's title off of Asuka and put it on someone else, and all of Asuka's work during the last year is gonna be for naught.
Whatever her time frame is gonna be as champion, it's gonna be a long title reign, but it's been a fairly empty title reign.
Because
Becky,
outside the stuff with Sasha and Bayley,
that stuff was great, but it came almost at the very beginning of her reign.
This is the second reign now. Don't forget.
The beginning of her second reign.
This whole time has been really awful for her. She's not done anything of note, other than just the stuff in the tag team division. But even that, it's just, it feels like they're just regretting the decision to do women's tag team titles. Like, it was something that they were kind of pushed into by fans, by the women on the roster that they didn't really want, and they put them on the shelf as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, they'd be better off getting rid of them, or just doing kind of something like NXT is doing. If you just want to have a women's tournament once every year, make a pay-per-view out of it if you want to, or a network special, honestly. Just because I don't feel like they've done too much of that recently. I think part of it's just out of practicality. I don't think you're going to be inviting that many new people to the PC and running them through all the tests that you need to at this juncture. But
if they cared about the women's tag team titles, they wouldn't have broken up the Iconics. Mandy and Sonya had a storyline, but you wouldn't have done a lot of the moves that you've done if you really care about them. Shayna and Nia, making a challenge towards Charlotte and Asuka, but no timetable when this match is going to take place. Charlotte's in another feud. Asuka's in another feud. Shayna and Nia are bickering more than ever, so it's just like, what is all this?
That's a pretty decent summation. The women's stuff is all over the place on Raw still. I think we kind of talked about how bad it was last week, but did a better job of going in depth about it on this week. Because, almost all those women were involved in Raw in one capacity or another this week. Like, as much as I said, part of it is just that SmackDown has a better direction for their women. And Raw is just so all over the place with it. Charlotte and Lacey is just doing no one any favors at all. They think it's doing someone favors, but they're not at all. Is there much to be made out of Xavier Woods continuing to take L's to Retribution?
We are starting a storyline here. Ali has declared why he's attacking Xavier Woods because of what happened 2 years ago when he was taken out of his championship match and Kofi Mania swept the nation. So that is all. That's fine. That's all good. Retribution is fine if we keep it about Ali. And the other guy, and the other guys are just, they're just his muscle. We also need to get Mia Yim out of there. If she's not gonna, be a challenger in the women's division, she has no reason to be out there. So I would vote to get her away from Retribution. But let's just, you know, for now, let's just make Retribution Ali's goon squad. If Ali wants to have a feud with Kofi, that's and Xavier, you know, that can be good stuff. And he's got good motivations. He does a good promo. That kind of stuff is fine. I mean, Xavier Woods is not a singles wrestler. It never has been. Probably, you know, never will be. He's also got other things going on in his life, and his upcoming G4 hosting gig. You know, up, down, down. I don't feel like for Xavier Woods, it actually wrestling in the ring is his top priority anymore in his life.
It would be tough. As much as he has, he's done a great job of diversifying. And, I think we talk about it with the actors, you know, with, John Cena and The Rock, you know, they're like, oh, this is a lot of fun not taking bumps. Like, that was terrible for my body. This is so much better just acting and having someone else take the bumps for me. Oh, and I get paid more? Yeah, I like this. And I'm not going to say, I don't know what Xavier Woods is being paid for any of this stuff, but, you know, that just speaks to his popularity among gamers that he can kind of get in there. I'm obviously sure that there are some crossover WWE fans that helped out. But he also has another set of fans that probably do not watch the WWE at all. It would be hard to have all of your time and effort into it. And I guess you do at least have to wonder a little bit. He definitely talked about gaining some muscle over his recovery time. I wonder if, you know, part of that, I think, was to maybe take the wrestling a little more seriously. But it might take him some time to find himself in the ring a little bit more, too. But he seems to be kind of sticking with the same offense.
Yeah, he does.
From what I can tell.
There's definitely a sameness to a lot of what he does, and the fact that I don't think he's ever going to get the singles run. He's not going to get the run that Kofi got. So many factors came in, came together perfectly for that to happen. Big E is obviously the WWE type of guy that they're going to push to the moon. finally, Woods. It's just going to keep. You know, how many times can him and Kofi win the tag team titles?
Yeah, that's about his ceiling. You know, I guess I could see some type of IC title run. If they wanted to go that route, he's never going to win the big one. That would be pretty strange if that ended up happening, honestly. So, yeah, you know, just... Yeah, it's a good story to run with. You know, it's another one that you can have a battle set up for the Rumble itself. I guess it seems like Kofi's going to be back in time with his jaw issue. I would think, or else they would, to me, they would not be pushing this storyline like this. I would think we'll at least get a Royal Rumble payoff for... sometime in between then and well before WrestleMania, I would suppose, at the least. So yeah, that definitely chewed up some time there on the Raws. I mean, I'm tired of talking about Ricochet.
Okay. You want to talk about Ricochet?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's such a broken record at this point that, you know.
Talk about Ricochet.
Oh. I don't get it. And I also don't get, I don't get the Hurt Business in fighting. Like, I get it from they've done a good job of telling the story. But I don't get it from, okay, you guys finally just got these guys established as a badass team, and you're gonna break them up. Like, it's driving me up a wall.
Yeah, absolutely same. We've said this every week ever since Cedric started to get developing a chip on his shoulder. It doesn't. I like them as a foursome. I like the group as it is. I don't understand why we have to do it like this. You know, we're kicking Shelton out of the group and making him a babyface again is gonna do him no favors because they're not gonna push him as a singles babyface at this stage in his career at his age. And then then you're down to a three man Hurt Business that just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work at all.
Yeah. So that part is has not been a highlight of Raw either. The only thing left on the list is Jeff Hardy, Jackson Ryker, which is not exactly exciting me at this time either.
Not exciting me either. Certainly nothing about that.
Okey-doke.
Elias and Jackson Ryker have just gotten together, and we are already sowing the seeds of dissension.
Yes, that's even worse than what's happening to the Hurt Business.
At least, why did we do this?
I got nothing. Yep.
Yeah. I guess the only thing to talk about is the Ole Miss TV segment with the return of one Gilbert and an actual fairly well known actor with numerous major credits to his to his career playing the role of the phony Drew McIntyre with his ass crack hanging out.
That was someone that I should have known.
Let's see.
Because
David Krumholtz. He started the CBS drama Numbers. He was also he's been a number of things. He was in
remember the show Numbers at least.
Yeah, he was the main guy on that show.
Oh my god. Yeah, he was he was the not Northern Exposure guy.
Yes, he was. He was also in the number of things in the 90s. He was the head elf in Santa Claus 1 and 2. He was in 10 Things I Hate About You. He was in, what other prominent things are. Just a bunch of things that, he was the Harold and Kumar movies.
Oh, good gravy. Yeah, he's been all over the place then.
Yeah. And that is who played the role of the phony Drew McIntyre.
Wow.
An actual, well-known, currently still working actor. It's now listed on his IMDb under Fake Drew.
Obviously is news to me. I guess good on them for getting someone that well-known to play Drew McIntyre on Miz TV.
I liked it. I'm sorry. I liked it. It was just goofy enough to work for me.
Well, the Gilbert joke has not been pulled in quite some time. So that was one where I'm like, because I did kind of figure I just figured it was going to be a Zoom thing. And that they were just going to harass him knowing full well that he couldn't do anything about it.
I did not feel like they were hyping Goldberg actually appearing on the show in the ring. Certainly.
I definitely didn't feel like he was actually going to show up. So that was kind of a fun little thing to have Goldberg come out for the first time in quite a while. And I don't know how long it's been since Goldberg has been on TV, but Goldberg looking pretty solid. Doesn't really look any different than he used to.
He's quite graceful. And we have established that the Miz has every intention of cashing in his Money in the Bank contract again. which is good. It's a good hook. It's a good hook for the match for people who aren't exactly all that excited about the prospect of Drew versus Goldberg itself. It's that, you know, what will Miz do with the Money in the Bank contract? I wonder if this is going to be we're at now the beginning of this of a story where Miz keeps getting his money, keeps getting the briefcase back on a technicality after he fails.
Having it happen the first time has been a lot of fun. It would be kind of even funnier if the gag continued until the next Money in the Bank match or close to it. Because there haven't been that many people that have waited that long to cash in their briefcase.
Think that... Right. No. It's never that long. It's, you know, the day or two so after WrestleMania really has been the longest anyone's really waited.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since they moved the, you know, they moved the pay per view, or they created its own pay per view that's in the spring summer.
That's a good point.
It's a good hook. We'll see how that goes. No, it's definitely worth that. That was a fun little segment.
With that, I think we're done with our segments. I don't feel like there's any news that was really out there. Like we're pretty quiet on the Western front here. It would seem. Bell Time Beer, still working through the six pack from my father-in-law, Warped Wing Gamma Bomb IPA. It is a fantastically nice, even keeled IPA. A little bit of piney resinous, a little bit of floralness. Not too much either. It, again, has a nice balance, has a little underlying sweetness to cut through the bitterness. So, double thumbs up, available all over, Ohio, even though it is made in, Dayton. See you, there's that, Bell Time Beer of the show. I am at Frango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you can, wherever you happen to download this, please punch us up, make us look good, and have a good night.
Later.